Okay. Very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 2nd of August, 2018, Thursday class. We are at Sister Padmasuri and Brother Teo's house. So we will now prepare ourselves to do the puja chanting. Let us recall to mind our spiritual faculty of sadha virya. Then mindfully we shall commence the puja chanting. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Bun Si Si Jia Moni Fo. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Quan Sing Pusa. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Mila Fo. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagavā. Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then the of the chanting book. Then we will chant the Vandana. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikha Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Rame Raya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. We are now Chanda Padipa Puja, offering of likes. Ganna Sarapa Dithena Dipena Tamadangsina Tiloka Dipang Sambuddhang Pujayami Tamonudang. Ganda Sambarayutena Dopena Hang Suganghina. Pujaye Pujaniyang Tang Puja baca namo temang Vanna ganda guno petang Etang kusuma santatin Pujayami munindas Siri pada sarorohe Pujemi bedang kusumena nena Punena metena ce hotu mokang Pupang melayati yata idang me Kayo tata yati winasa bawang Adivase tuno bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Pale parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Adivase tuno bante Bojanang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutemang Now we will chant the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all these puja offerings. Significance of offering of light to the Buddha. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fires of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana, making of all raw aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of these offerings, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers. Sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and the affinity to receive them. Sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect, Triple J. Bhutang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang pujemi. Okay, you all can be seated, and we can have half an hour of meditation. So we are off the light, then you all can just relax body and mind, silent everything, and just maintain that silence. to allow the mind to settle down and realize the silent mind, the stillness within. Just maintain awareness, silent, and the mind will return to its original state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness. Then you just stabilize it to develop the understanding. Meditation is to silence your mind to understand whatever that arises. The understanding will arise on its own. You don't need to do anything. You just have to be sensitive, maintain awareness. Then you will understand how you function as a human being. How all the teaching that the Buddha talked about, they come to be. You will see them within your own form and mind. Especially the paticca-samuppada, dependent origination. How dependent on ignorance you create sankhara, activity of mind. Otherwise you won't think. You don't have delusion, ignorance. You will not arise mental activity. You are just peaceful, calm, aware. But because of delusion, ignorance, mental activity will arise. Then when mental activity arises, you tend to get yourself entangled and lost within the conditioning. Then upon contact, because you don't have wisdom, the contact can arise through your senses, your five physical senses, your eye, your ear, your nose, your tongue, your tactile. Then of course your thought through memory, through heedless thinking. Then through response from memory, things that you hold on to, you attach to. All this come from your delusion, sakkayadhiti, self-delusion. And because of that, whenever mind makes contact with your sense bases, even your mind door, it will trigger off consciousness. It will make you conscious. Then within that moment, the core arising of the seven universal mental concomitant within the content of consciousness, they will arise. That's why without wisdom, your feeling will not remain as pure feeling. It will be conditioned into craving. That's why there is like and dislike. Then craving will condition grasping. That's why your mind will stir, react. Then grasping will condition becoming. Then if you are not mindful enough, not careful enough, becoming a condition, but you become that thing. You are born into that. That's how the whole mess of suffering comes to be. That's why birth give rise to all its sickness and death, and the whole mess of suffering. So mental birth is also birth. Physical birth is also birth. So under the dependent origination here, the birth is mainly mental. Then after that, if you are mindful enough, you are sensitive enough, you will know how your content of consciousness go in. Whether this content of consciousness has the evil roots of greed, hatred or delusion or not, you will be able to be aware your mental intention behind the chitena. Born of your conditioning, your belief system, your views, your opinion, and all of your other conditioning. So all this you will see. Then when you have cultivated appropriately, your spiritual faculty will be there. You will have the faith, sadha, calm and composed mind. Then the virya that make you awake, drive you to cultivate. Then your sati, which is the silent mind, they will fall into place. Then as you continue to meditate, relax, silent, you develop the stability of samadhi. Then when you have sati and samadhi, you can see things as they are, you can understand many things. Then your mind will develop wisdom, understanding. And this is how your spiritual faculty will arise and help you to overcome your mental hindrance. That's why you can meditate. Nothing can disturb you. When the spiritual faculties are there, the mental hindrance no more. You will enter the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness straight away. Because there is nothing to hinder you. The mental hindrance cannot be there when the spiritual faculties are there. So this is how you do it. Then if your spiritual faculty are still not stable as yet, give me a minute. Sorry for the interruption. The call came from overseas, my son. He is flying back from Jakarta today. No problem. So we'll continue to allow you to meditate. So just as I was mentioning, if your spiritual faculty are still not stable, then there are two things you can do. You can either develop the mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking, combine with metta, and train the mind. Then stabilize it with anapanasati, which is the usual way. The second way, which is easier, is just let the mind do what it wants to do. If it wants to think, let it think. Do not fight, do not suppress, do not try to do anything. Just let things be. If you can do that and maintain your silence, all the thought process, they will slow down on their own. Then as it slow down, after a while, you will experience a type of quietness which you will become aware of. Then you realize meditation is just so simple. No need to do anything. Relax, aware. The first two support. Then maintain for as long as you can the third support. That is what meditation is all about. Then the original state of mind of stillness, calmness, inner awareness, they will come back. The mind will return. When the mundane mind ceases to be, the true mind, which is always there, will become prominent, clear. And that's what the meditative state is all about. So just relax, silent, and maintain awareness. And find out for yourself the truth of what I have shared with you. Then your meditation will become much easier. Okay, I will ring the bell after the 45 minutes is up. 30 minutes is up. For those who still want to meditate, you can continue. For those who have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of the meditation. Then turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teaching of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release, Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Namo Tassa Bhagavato. Oh, sorry. We had to chant the Pali one first. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammam Muni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkhadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vija charana sampano sugato lokavido Anutaram purisa dhamma sarati sat Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabho Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Ujupatipanno Bhagavato Savakasango Naya patipano bhagavato savakasango Samichi patipano bhagavato savakasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala esa bhagavato savakasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo anutarang punyaketang Lokasati Sadhu 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 Okay, let us pay respect to Tripaja. Buddhang pujayami. Dhammang pujayami. Sanghang pujayami. Okay, you all can be seated. Then just relax body and mind. Maintain some of our attention. Then we will continue with our second session. Second session is meditation reporting, followed by Q&A. If you got any question with regards to the meditation or the teaching, you can ask. Yeah, pass to Tammy, yes. Yeah, Tammy.
Radio. Just now you said that cultivate the four Brahma Vihara. No, you didn't say all, you just say that cultivate Karuna is not like something like Karuna. But yeah, I just got a question arise. It's related lah. Sometimes people say that when we cultivate like the good qualities of the mind.
The four Brahma Vihara.
People is like they do kind of like doing, you know. Then I also experienced before and then also I heard that sometimes it doesn't really need to practice, it just happened naturally.
It will just come by itself because it's from people's past cultivation. But most of the people who doesn't understand, they try to do it, they will be verbalizing. So when they verbalize, it's like the parrot. So initially, they just parroting. Metta, metta, metta. Then they don't even understand what metta is. That is a loving kindness. Oh, loving kindness. Okay, loving kindness. What is loving? Then they teach you, may I be well and happy. May all beings be well and happy. So you think that is metta anasara, but you just verbalize. But as you understand, then you will do it differently. You reflect, you contemplate what actually is metta. Even compassion is the same. What does it mean by karuna? What does it mean by metta? Metta means you have very strong love within. And this loving kindness is not just the what they call society's definition of love. That one can get hurt on, can get angry, can develop hatred when things don't go your way. You can be jilted and all that. So that is not the metta. The metta is universal love. No matter what happened, that love is always there. Because you can have love. When you have love, you are incapable of negativity. That is the very important understanding. So when we really want to cultivate metta, means no matter what happened, we just love. And that love is universal. You won't discriminate. You won't say, oh, this one my good friend, my parent, my family, my brother, sister. I will have more metta for him. And then the other people, I don't know. And how can I relate metta? And especially they say, my enemy, you know, you also want me to relate metta. May he be well and happier. Ayo, that guy did that. All. That's why I say the conditioning is so strong. Your memory recall. Then how to have love? Understand that? When you have anger and hatred against that person, especially when you label him as your enemy because you don't like him or he has done something negative towards you. So a person whose mind prejudice, discriminate, cannot have love, understand? Cannot have metta. Then what I tried to explain to you just now was regarding compassion, loving kindness. Mainly compassion, where we are talking about people who go vegetarian. If you understand why you go vegetarian, that is very good. Otherwise, most people who don't have the understanding, to me, no point because you're wasting your time. What is more important is if you understand the seriousness of going vegetarian because you really have this compassion within you, very strong, and like love. When you have compassion means you cannot be cruel at all. You cannot do anything that is against it. If you have that understanding, then it's very good. Then you can go vegetarian because it's an extension of that understanding. But most people, they do it because of conditioning. Like I told you, they saw this video and all those things, or they saw the killing and all that. Then after that, they are so conditioned. I will never touch anything that has life anymore. Because at that moment when you were conditioned by those videos, especially nowadays, those who those who wants to propagate this way so that more people become vegetarian and all those things. But the motive behind you don't know, understand or not? Because sometimes you are too keen to promote your religion, understand, or your belief system, then they glorify their own religion, the religious labor, then they try to convert people. If you don't have the understanding, you have not actually meditated into it or investigated into it, and you don't know whether it's the right religion, but because you believe in that religion, then you want to promote it, then you can get yourself into trouble for nothing. So in the same way, when you lack the understanding, that thing is not effective. Like I always say, it's not what you eat that make you pure, make you compassionate. That vegetarian thing, when you understand, is very good. But if your level of cultivation is not that level yet, you don't have that understanding to go to that level of compassion, means not only don't kill, don't harm, to the extent you don't want even to give rise to condition that brings about death. So they always tell you, if there is no demand, there is no supply. So this is what they tell you, and that it appears logical. But you have to understand, the world is the world. There is what they call the food chain. There is the ecosystem that survive over the ages and all those things. And it keep on evolving because when there is a what they call disruption to the ecosystem, a lot of things can happen. Like I explained just now in India, where the Hindu don't take beef. So what happened? They will not kill the cow. They will not harm. So it become a problem. The cow are left to die until very old. Then it become a society's issue and problem and all those things. But if you allow things to be, then there is a balance. But when you really have the compassion, you will know because you have that level of understanding, sensitivity, and cultivation. But on your one hand, you say you are vegetarian, means outwardly, form-wise, you say, I'm vegetarian, I don't want to cause to kill. Because I have this compassion. But that outward appearance that conditions you to do this is not balanced by the understanding. So what happens is, your gross evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are still so strong. Understand? You still break your precept, you still get angry, you still get emotional, and you still create a lot of suffering to people without you knowing it, because you are not mindful, you are not sensitive. So on one hand, you are still not developed in your cultivation, but on the other hand, you try to be at that level of compassion to restrain yourself from even eating anything that has life. Even though it's an individual thing, but what I want you to see is the lack of understanding lead to this type of, I won't call it a hypocrisy because it's done without their knowledge, because they themselves are not aware, they are not sensitive. And some people, when they hear people say, it's better to be vegetarian, otherwise you suffer, you cause to kill. So you will be born chicken, you will be born pig, you will be born beef animal, and people will eat you back. So if you out of fear, then you do it, then your action is not based on understanding. It's based on the evil root of fear and delusion you do. But when you cultivate until a certain level, then you have this sensitivity where you can feel the suffering of living being. Then you cannot cause to kill or harm. You cannot do things that affect their life. That's why you become so sensitive. Like sometimes, not to say cause to kill or what, like even if there is ants or what, you can't just sweep it off or just destroy it or kill it. Cannot. Because I actually experienced it once. During the early days, I don't know whether I've shared this with you or not. I was at my second last teacher's house. They will have this, like, help her to clean up the house, house cleaning and all that. So there was this storeroom, I think many, many years ago, nobody go in on, nobody do any clearing. So I opened up, so I wanted to clean it up. Then I saw the answer. I saw the answer. Then I tried my very best, not to really cause fear. But when you use the broom and sweep, if you are mindful, you can see and feel their fear, understand or not? And it's so strong. That's why I can't. So I was trying my very best to slowly move it and put it into the dustpan and just throw it out. But there was one instant, I think meant for me to like experience and understand it. Because when I was sweeping it, I was very careful. Then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. My hand just gave it a sweep. And I saw the ends, the fear, everything, just move forward. It didn't die, nothing. But cannot, inside here, I felt it. Then I asked for forgiveness straight away. Then after that, I really, very mindful gather them all and clear them. And do you know, because of that action, not long later, I kena bitten by the ants. I accidentally stepped into one place where not supposed to have ant on. I happened to stand there, and I happened to step on some of the ant without me knowing. Then when the ant attacked me, only I knew. Well, at that time, I straight away knew it was coming for me to understand. Then I dare not even like kill those ants that were on my leg. I had to slowly bear the thing and just slowly remove it. I tried to look for tissue paper or the, then ask for forgiveness, wish and well-being. Then after that, no more. Until today, no more. So your understanding will allow you to act in such a way. You not only don't kill, don't harm, you cannot even cause fear. Understand? And a lot of things come from understanding. Then when you understand, your understanding will allow you to act. Because when you don't have mental intention to kill, that is the most important. You have the Buddha, the icchitena that I call karma. So if I don't have intention to kill, then if I have my vow, then there is a understanding behind. So it's not to say the Buddha totally prohibit taking meat. Understand? Because Devadatta confronted the Buddha and asked him to introduce full vegetarian in the Sangha. Sakyamuni Buddha refused. He said, no, not supposed to be. Why? Because the synergy that he introduced, the lineage of the Buddha, the synergy between the lay people and the community of monks or order of the monks is supposed to be a very good synergy. Means the monk to be worthy of offering the four requisites and all those things, respect, give, and even food and shelter, you have to cultivate so that you are worthy of offering the four requisites and all those things. Then when the lay people make such offering and you are worthy, then there is merit, sannasana. Means the lay people support the Sangha. Where the Sangha is supposed to devote full time to cultivate. And they need sustenance, they need food. That's why they go out for alms round, pindapata and all those things. Then as a lay person, because of this lineage, this synergy, if you understand, you should rejoice and you can have the means, you can afford. You should make offering. Then in return, the monk will give you blessings, protection. Yeah. They will chant. Normally after you make dana offering, what does the monk do? Yeah? They will invoke power of merit, then sharing of merit, transfer of merit. Then sometimes they may add a short dhamma talk and the sana. Then towards the end, of course, you can transfer merit, share merit, and do the closing puja. So this is how the synergy is supposed to be. Then when you see the monk, it allows you to recall to mind the importance of cultivation. That's why Sakyamuni Buddha, before he left the palace, he saw the four signs, and straight away he go for. Because he knew he has problem. The first three signs tell him he has problem. That he saw a very old man, very sick, very old, very fragile, very weak. Then a diseased person almost dying. Then he saw a dead person. At first he don't understand. He asked the attendant, who are they? How come they are there? Oh, he said, this is an old man. This is a very sick man, diseased. And that is a dead man. He can't understand. Then the attendant told him, if we live life long enough, we will finally have to confront all this reality. We have to get old, get sick, and die. Then he straight away knew, if that is the case, I have a problem. Whatever happiness and joy that I have received, where he was the son of the king, the four palaces, the four seasons, all this got no meaning. Well, I have a problem which I cannot resolve. Finally, I will grow old. I will get sick, be diseased, and finally die. And that was the reason why he wants to seek the answer. Then he saw this Samana, a very calm, radiant monk who goes on alms round. So he realized this is the way to develop the understanding. So he decided to renounce the world, leave the palace, and live the life of a samana in search for truth, for answer to overcome old age, sickness, and death. That's why finally he make it, because he underneath the Bodhi tree that night, when he connect, he realized he inherited all his past cultivation. Then he realized this form and mind, the so-called human being, is not real. It's impermanent, it leads to suffering, and is non-self, anatta, empty. Then he realized, no more problem, but this is not me. All his sickness and death pertain to the physical body, not his nature. His nature never dies. That's why he liberates and he free. So this type of understanding is most important. So when you understand, it is the mind, the mental intention that creates karma. So what you need to do is to cultivate this. Be sincere, be truthful, be righteous, be honest, be wise. That's why the four character, basic character of an enlightened being, an Arya. Just now we chant Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho. Yeah. What is the meaning? Yeah? Of what? Of good conduct is the order of the disciple of the Buddha. Then, after that? Of upright conduct means you are righteous, understand or not? Your conduct not only good, you are righteous. You keep to your righteousness. You don't give in, understand or not? You don't like the previous government, understand or not? Just because you want to stay in power, you're scared, you lose your whatever, then you want to get the wealth away. So you follow the crooked one and do all those things. So you are not being righteous, understand or not? You act out of selfishness, delusion, and all those things. The third one is the most important. Nyaya. Then the third one is of wise conduct. Wisdom. You must have wisdom. That's why you don't simply follow people or be conditioned by what you see or hear that you decide to become vegetarian. That one is not effective. Understand? But when you understand it through your own cultivation, when you really see it through your own mindfulness and sensitive about it, you will become automatic. That's why at one stage, I remember during my cultivation, that time I was so young, about the age of 35, 1989, I remember. After I connect, I got the understanding, then all of a sudden, this nature just, it doesn't want to take all those things, the meat and all those things. Then even I went and ordered condom meal for that 6 months, I remember. The lady who sell me the condom meal, she know me when I, every time I go there, you know. She look at me and say, "Meal to my chai. Come on, legal meal, I didn't want to drink." She asked me, you know. I say, look. I mean, put on the hot, you call it what, the boiling water, loko mean, loko is what, in English is what, what, cook the meal. Actually, it's not cooking, it's put in the hot water. You try to soften the noodle, soften the noodle. So I say, after you do, then you put on the plate, I say, chong tau yao, that one you can put, then put more veggie. I said, I don't want all the meat. He said, wantan no more. Don't want. So I just eat like that. Then you know what happened. After about 3 months, suddenly I realized my body not suitable. No? Not suitable. No? This body, I can feel it. One. No? I realized not suitable for the vegetarian food. No? But it doesn't come with that type of DNA, understand? Then I realized, how come like that? I say, because with the understanding, I want to eat. But if it's not suitable for my body, I cannot be so foolish, isn't it? Just because I think it's more pure. No, for me, I know the body is also important. Like the Buddha said, the middle way. Avoid the indulgence in the senses. Avoid the two extremes of self, sensual indulgence and self-mortification. So you're supposed to tread the middle way. So what happened was, I started to investigate. Then after a while, almost 6 months down the line, I knew already, not correct. The body doesn't come this way. Then all of a sudden in my meditation, I suddenly realized I have this vow. Whoever end up as food for me to consume and sustain this form, this nature vow to bring them all across when the time comes. Then straight away, that realization sink in. Then from that moment, I knew why my body was not suitable. Well, my body came with that type of vow. It's supposed to eat those type of food. But all these food are allowable, understand that? Not the one that is not allowable. I don't cause to kill. I don't want to kill. Yeah. Otherwise, no point. I will not eat. Yeah. So all this, naturally, it comes, and the understanding comes. That's why when you understand with wisdom, the true understanding will make you different. Then you change because of that understanding. But you don't change because you are conditioned. Understand? But the human mind, before it's enlightened or awakened, it tends to be conditioned. I got one Kayana Mita. This one is true, real life. And after what she went through, for her to believe me, it's not easy, you know. She at first was non-vegetarian. Then somehow she ended up in Australia, I think working, I don't know what. Then when he was in Australia, he got this brain tumor. And luckily she went for the operation because that time the medical thing in Australia was very good because they got the insurance and all that. She got the operation free because of the insurance. And she recovered. Actually, that time was the, I think the early 80s or 90s. Not easy that time. Then after that, somebody told her, in order to prolong your life, go vegetarian. And because of that condition, she was on vegetarian for very long. Even after she met me, she's still vegetarian. Then you know what happened? She got cancer. She got cancer. Then people tell him, no, don't worry, you got the meditation, you go in here, cancer also will be gone. I say, don't be foolish. But luckily she trusts me, she came and see me. I talked to her. I say, when you are in this state, you better take care. I said, your health, everything is very important. So I said, he decided to go for chemo. Because she realized whatever people tell him, oh, you meditate, oh, nothing will happen. His body, she can feel. She knows it's not working. So she decided to go for chemo. And that was many years ago too. Then she went for chemo. Then her hair all gone. Then she went back to her hometown. But her Dhamma was quite good because after she followed me, she was quite good. But she got to go through all these tests. She got one brother, I think 34 years old, because of the test. The brother went to Hong Kong and ate something. Don't know, food poisoning or don't know what, enter hospital, then just died, you know, at the age of 30 something. So that was the first blow. Then the mother affected. Then she told me, if she knew that there is such a test, she would rather not have the test. I say, it's not your choice. It's a combination of karma. Your condition is you are ready for the test. Nothing else can test you if she's not married. Is that not? So not married how? Your closest is your parent and your brother. And you're very close to your brother. So she determined to help the sister-in-law. At that time, the sister-in-law with the children also young. Then the sister-in-law almost like mad, went depression or something. And she told me all this, she wrote to me. Then later I helped her. Then she returned to work and all those things. Then later on, the mother also, she helped take care. Then she came back. Then after that, not long, she got cancer. I don't know whether caused by all this thing or what. I also not very sure. Then because of that cancer thing, she actually came back and consulted me. So I tell her, okay, you are going through chemo. You must understand what is chemo. I say the effect is very severe. The chemo drug will kill everything, good and bad. Your defense mechanism, your immune system will go down, I say. And you need to really eat. have to take food. You have to re-nourish yourself. You better take. You know what she did? After that, she went back to Johor because here expensive, BJ. So there, hometown cheaper. And she started eating. She told me after that she recovered. She became healthy. And she told me, Bertil, yeah, now I eat, he said. Whatever that is nutritious, nourish. Nothing wrong. The tumor, nothing happened to her. And she is now so good. She survived 6 years already, I think. Or more than six, I think. That time was 2009. 9 years already. And she, every time come down, she will come and see me. My wife know her. She was my first batch. So don't be foolish. And I said, when your body need, you better tell yourself. It's not what you eat that make you pure. Understand? If what you eat make you pure, or the cow, which is herbivorous, the horses, they will become enlightened. Understand? But why are they still cow and horse? It's because it's not what you eat that make you pure. It's your mental intention. That's why I cultivate mindfulness, heedfulness, be mindful. Yeah. I didn't have a chance to hear your question. You didn't really ask me any question. Did you ask me your question, your specific question? You can continue. Yes.
It's just like, I just quite curious that because some they say they need to do, like, if I noticed that only when the, like, I can say, like, the wisdom is there, then only this confession is like so natural.
Yes, very natural.
When it's not there, it's like
it's the
so
thought, the thought telling you.
It's so like hard or maybe like greed or hatred.
It's the fear. And so people condition you. People say, hey, you do this. Like just now I say, you will be born chicken and all those things and let people conceive again. So a lot of people have this type of fear. But I can tell you, the Buddha also mentioned, if you keep your precept, you will never go down. Understand? You will be born in the devas. Keeping precept only, you know. So why you worry? Even monks, they take food that are offered, allowable food, including meat. Understand? That's why the Sakyamuni's tradition, he doesn't want to enforce vegetarian. No meaning. Understand? Sometimes conditions are so harsh. You're supposed to have this synergy, goes on arms round. You cannot expect lay people to know all these things. Understand? If they offer you whatever they have on their table, or they have cooked, means they are allowable. But you every time go to the same house and they expect you to come, then they kill for you, and then you be careful, understand? There are some people, like my mother during the early days, she buy the baby chick. Then every year, this baby chick will grow up, and for the next 2-3 years, he don't have to buy chicken on. The egg all free on. Very chicken, very good. My mother, we are actually, my father has a wooden shop lot, a tap house in a small town. So we don't have proper place, we don't have a farm, we don't have land. So what my mother did is the kitchen coop to keep the chicken on. He built from her own construction, very simple. I think can put in about 20 chicken on it. And this chicken very good. She trained them. When they were young, they asked the mother chick, the mother chicken. He would take them out. Then towards the end of the day, sunset that time, the mother chicken will bring them back. Then early morning, they will go, coo! That morning signal. Then my mother will open the coop very early, then let them go out. And because they were trained, so as they grew up, after the mother chicken no more, they know how to come back on every night. No need to go and look for them on. They will know how to go and get their own food, the woman, all those things. Then they come back. And my mother is very kind. Look after them. Then some night rain, he will go and look for them. Because some night they are hiding under the shade or whatever. So then at night they cannot see. They don't know how to come back. So my mother will take the umbrella and bring them back. Then every time when she wants to like slaughter one of the chicken, the prayer she makes is very good one, in Hakka. He said, chicken, chicken, chicken. He said, forgive me for what I have to do to you. He said, because I give you life, he said. I bring you up as a chicken. I care for you, I love you. And in return, you're supposed to do your part. Then I don't mean anyhow. Then even when she slaughter, she will say that prayer. Then one day, he asked me to help to hold the chicken. Well, my mother, as he get older, he not like last time. One hand with the wing, one hand with the knife, he can slaughter. But as she grow older, she cannot. He said, help me to hold. That time I was form four. I held the chicken. And you know, when I saw the knife coming, I let go the chicken. I could not scold her by her. He's a useless fellow. take care of you. Yong do hen ang tai. You understand Hakka or not? Yong do le kam tai. Lin chuk ye chak kai dong zai chou. So that was what happened, you see. Because I can't bear the thing. But I saw the night come. This inner nature knew. Cannot. How can you just kill like that? I just let go. Then after that day, he never called me. A lot of things when I was young, I learned. So all this is Dhamma, understand? Later on, you will come to understand. So because of what you do, like my mother's case, even when she wants to kill and all those things, because she said all those things, the karmic is not so serious. But she don't have intention to kill, actually. But because to save money for the family and so on. Yeah, that time, you think every day you can get chicken. Choya some money, you can see chicken on the table. Otherwise, no one. Some of you all don't have, but my mother real one. Yeah, she rare herself. So if she got 20 over, can last 1 year. Then sometimes, of course, he only something one day. So 1 year, you need 12 only. So can last him quite long. Then in between, he will get the mother hen to get a group of chick to let her take care. That's how she did it. And I saw it. And it was indeed a very good idea and a synergy. But the chick was so cheap. Then the egg she collect can sell or not. Got surplus now. There's so many. And she know how to pick the chick. Very seldom you got the cock one now. Kokokai or not. Most of them are the hen one. Well, she got this metta. My mother very, very kind one. Uneducated but full of love. I tell you, we raise all our children. Until my neighbor also know. She will carry us through pregnancy. Until the last day, when the water bag burst, she's still working. Then she herself will call the taxi and the trishaw and go to the hospital. Yeah, later on, when I was older, but I was a second, I saw her doing that. Nowadays, lady cannot. Understand not? Oh, maternity leave. Where got maternity leave? Oh, 2-3 days only after that, start work again. But she eat. When she really, that 3 confinement days, that 3-4 days, she really eat. My grandmother helped cook the thing. So this is how she became very strong. And she really has so much love for us. She's willing to sacrifice for the family, everything. And what happened was, because of what she did, my neighbor realized she gave birth to 9 of us, all healthy, despite working there. Nobody got problem one. So my neighbor, the old lady, he got 1 daughter, he got a son, no? Very difficult to bring up one, no? A lot of problem one. A lot of sickness, problem and everything. They say very difficult to raise this type of child. Keep on having problem. And the neighbor's old lady tell the daughter, you better go to the neighbor, talk to my dad and my mom. You understand? What? God adopted. No, he asked my parent to be the godfather and godmother to the child. And you know what happened now? It's like really a miracle. No? The moment she did that, and he go and buy simple thing, offer to my father and bao zhe ang bao to my parents. From that day onward, this child become normal, no? Like the one so all turn around. No? Then when my father's funeral, he came. Then every year, without fail, he will come and make offering to my father. Then invite my father and mother home, and we all over to have, on certain occasion, to have dinner and other things. So these are the things that they do. And because they can see, that's why they, through observation, they know. This family got very good. During my parents' time, a lot of the birth, most houses, out of that many, sure got one or two, the birth didn't go well. Died very young or what. Something will happen. So all this is, I saw in their parami. That's why later on I came to know why they become my parent. Because later on the nature know certain life in the past. They don't know what my nature is, they don't know who am I. But they helped me before. They were kind, they were generous. Means they attended to me. And they make certain offering or good action. But they don't know who my nature was. But that time my nature has given the pure wish. And the best way to take them across is making them my parent. You understand? Because they have this good nature. They will do their duty well. And because of that, when they raise me, provide for me, care for me, give me education, sacrifice for me, and all those things, their parami is already full, very, very strong. That's why I said you don't have to worry. I will invoke the power of merits for you, and your future is all taken care of from that life onward. That's how you bring across living being, understand? Because through understanding. That's why there are a lot of ways to develop the cultivation. Most important is wisdom, understanding, nothing else. So this part is very important, and we should thank Tabby for bringing out such good condition to have such sharing. It just started because he joined us first day for the dinner, and she is vegetarian. Then we talk about vegetarian. Very good. So now you understand, if it's natural, through understanding, it's like very smooth, no resistance one, and you just know what to do. Otherwise, it's not smooth one. It's through a conditioned mind. You are subject to condition, conditioned by what people tell you, conditioned to the video, by the video you see and all those things, and conditioned by the popular belief. That's why no point. You can listen, but if you want to try, inquire. Investigate and find out. Everyone is different. Don't be so gullible. Wow, people go vegetarian. I also must go vegetarian. It's just like those cultivators who don't understand. The Buddha eat one meal a day, I must also eat one meal a day. The Buddha sit like that, I must also. You think by following what he do can make you a Buddha or not? The Buddha is the virtue and the wisdom. It's not how he walk, how he sit, and how he conduct himself every day. It's at the mind level, the understanding, the wisdom. That's why this book, this new book, you must go and read. I wrote about it because of Bodhidhamma, that sharing I wrote. I don't know what page, I cannot remember. I think I found this place. Page 14. Turn to page 14. Somewhere in the middle. Somewhere in the middle. They're supposed to go into this silent meditation. Not supposed to talk. 3 days, three nights. The one who talk, disqualified. So it so happened, I read here, one of the monk, he got this fear, is it? What are those noise? And oh, the oil lamp's light is gone. Then the other monk laughed and said, you are not supposed to talk, so you broke the rule, so you are out. Then the other monk said, I'm the only one that didn't talk. So the third monk also broke the rule. Then the abbot said, you all broke the rule. So including the abbot, everybody broke the rule except Bodhidharma. Because only Bodhidharma didn't say anything. Then there was this glaze ware where they used to cover the Chinese tea cup. He used the glaze ware cover to make some grinding sound on the table. Then when they heard him doing that, they asked Bodhidharma, what are you doing? Then Bodhidharma asked back, what are you all doing? They then answer, we were sitting in silent Zen meditation to realize enlightenment or Buddhahood. He then replied, I am polishing this glassware to make it into a mirror. They laugh at him. We are saying, you must be crazy. This is a glassware. How can it become a mirror? Then Bodhidharma replied, if polishing the glassware cannot make it into a mirror, then how can sitting in Zen without understanding make you enlightened and a Buddha? What I am trying to do is to give you an analogy so that you all can understand. If what I am doing with the glassware is impossible to accomplish, meaning it is foolish to do. But I see you all doing the same foolish thing while sitting in Zen because you don't have understanding. You think must sit quiet only. Then they cannot understand Bodhidharma, so they ask him back. They then ask Bodhidharma, how then can we become enlightened and realize Buddha? Bodhidharma replied, one must start by understanding that the Buddha is the embodiment of his great perfection of wisdom and virtue, and not in his posture and movement, like how he sits, how he walks and meditates. The Buddha has got no fixed posture, and Zen is not just about sitting in silence. Do you think by sitting this way without making any noise can make you enlightened? He said, enlightenment is not about form dhamma, not about sitting, not about talking. Sorry, not about not talking. And all those gullible so-called Zen practices at the form level, which is form dhamma. Enlightenment is an understanding, a wisdom to be realized by the wise, each for themselves. And that the self nature or true nature is to be awakened to via the direct seeing with the silent mind. You all only know you have to sit in meditation, but you all don't understand why you sit and how to meditate. So how can you realize truth and awaken to the way? All the monks were stunned by his reply. Do you know what they asked him back? What do you mean? They asked Bodhidharma. Everybody also sit. If we don't sit in Zen, then how can we awaken to the way? Bodhidharma told the monk, you must start from basic. So this word was very important. Start from basic. What does it mean? Do you know what the monk's response was? The monk thought it means to start as a samanera doing all those basic preliminary practices. So they asked Bodhidharma, what do you mean by starting from basic? We are all senior monks. We have already gone through all those preliminary training and practices long ago. That is why, finally, we only need to sit. Bodhidharma then replied, you have to start from basic meaning. Start from mind. In Mandarin is 心为根本. And you must understand what this mind is all about, the two aspects, so that you can understand clearly who you are and what you are. You know the two aspects, huh? Huh? The two aspects of mind? One of them is what? Huh? Ah, one of them is your true mind. The other one is your mundane mind, your thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind, huh? The heedless thinking mind, the mundane mind. So these two aspects you must understand. Then through understanding this mind, you will understand who you are and what you are. If you can't even understand that you have a self nature and everything arises from that self nature via creation by the mundane mind, which is dependent originating and conditioned arising, then you are being superficial in your cultivation and you are wasting your time. You understand, huh? Superficial means what? Means you haven't gone into the real meditation. Then you have to understand whether wholesome or unwholesome, evil or non-evil, etc., they all arise from the mundane mind. Yeah? This is basic understanding. This basic understanding of the self-nature and the mundane mind is also the reason why Sakyamuni Buddha say, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, everything arises. Hence, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, etc., they all arise via the mundane mind's creation. And Bodhidharma said, if this basic teaching also you don't understand, then how can you meditate? Do you follow? Yeah? Because your mundane mind creates duality. That's how the evil root comes about. And you're supposed to be mindful of this. You're supposed to understand what constitutes evil. So all these basic things you don't know and you want to meditate. You think by sitting quietly, not making any noise, you can become enlightened. Then all the thought that every day sit would have been enlightened, isn't it? Why are the thought not enlightened? So all this points towards delusion, avijja. Then he told them, if this basic teaching also you don't understand, then how can you meditate? Do you follow? This basic understanding teaches you that your mind creates duality of good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. And that is why the Buddha said, this one I have gone through, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. And everything arises from the self nature. And the mundane mind is the source of good and evil, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome, etc. In this understanding, which is called kenpen, or basic understanding, you also don't have, then you are being superficial in your cultivation, and you all are wasting your time. You can go and sit for umpteen years, yet you can never awaken. That's why you have to understand that you have a nature which is independent of thought. Thought is dependent originating, condition arising. And from it, everything comes to be. This is basic understanding. There's a reason why Bodhidharma teaching and Huineng's teaching are the same. Both take you directly to the true mind. Do you understand? Then from there, you can meditate. And everything will become very easy. So the whole of meditation is to understand this mind, anasana. So if you know the mundane mind create and make you heedless because it lacks the spiritual faculty and all those things, then what must you do? You must train it. Then after that, your purpose is train it to have the ability to realize the true mind, anasana, the silent mind. And that is the mind that can awaken, that can understand, that can liberate. We are the direct seeing, it can understand. And all of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, the enlightenment factor, everything, the evil roots. You're supposed to develop mindfulness, heedfulness. That's why without the silent mind, which is sati or pasati, you cannot start. Because without sati, you cannot be heedful. Without heedfulness, you cannot develop the Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot develop the mindfulness. You cannot be sensitive. You cannot be aware. Then the four foundation of mindfulness also need mindfulness. Investigation of Dhamma also need mindfulness. To be able to be aware of your evil roots, your wrong mental intention, negativity of thought, action and speech, also you need mindfulness. That's why mindfulness is most important. So you have to train your mind to be aware, mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That is what Appamattha is all about. That is what the cultivation is all about. So if you think by sitting quietly, one day you will become enlightened and you are being gullible. Like I explained, sitting is formal meditation, more conducive to train your mind, understand not? Because when you are in a retreat, in a meditative way place, the conditions are more conducive. There is less disturbance. There is less of this external influence. And most of your senses are down. And your environment is more tranquil, peaceful. Most people are observing precepts. You have less condition for negativity, for stirring of the mind and all things. So if under such retreat condition, you cannot train, your mind cannot be heedful or mindful, then you don't stand a chance when you go out into society or back to life. That's why I used to tell people, including Tammy, if you need to work, work, because you need money. You can afford it, you don't need to work, then you can retire or semi-retire to do the thing that you like to do. But if you are a cultivator, if you are still not enlightened, my advice is go and work. Otherwise, you cannot be tested. You think by going to hotel retreat, all those things, by going and doing all those meditation, you will become enlightened one day. It's not like that. Wisdom needs to be developed in the midst of life, in the midst of nature. It's not a static thing. People who go back into formal meditation is because they have already developed the training. So if you want to realize that type of enlightenment, Nibbana, which is more stable, then you go for the formal posture. You either sit or lie down or do your walking and all those things. Then when it comes, it can be very strong. Otherwise, the whole of formal meditation is just to train your mind to develop the spiritual faculty. Then from the spiritual faculty, you develop the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then from there, your daily mindfulness, you stabilize it. So understand the purpose of formal meditation. Then like the Buddha say, you need heedfulness in the midst of life. So daily mindfulness is the real cultivation, and that is part of Kayanupassana. That's why the Buddha say the first category of practice is to train your mind to develop sati. That's why he introduced anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then after you have done that, straight away he say go into the four posture, mindfulness of the four posture. Then after that, connect up the four posture, all the activity, your daily activity and movement. So mindfulness of all action and all movement in the daily life. So that is daily mindfulness. That's why the Buddha says standing aware, looking forward aware, bending, turning, stretching aware, even answering nature's call aware. Then putting on the monk's robe or your own clothing aware. Everything you do, you develop awareness. mindfulness. And that is the real meditation. Means when you are aware, you are with the moment. You are not lost in thought. You are not heedless. And when you can do this until it's very stable, you are most of the time aware, mindful, without thought. You only allow thought to arise when you need it. Then when the thought arises, it just perceive, understand, and move. It does not, like last time, stir, react, become lost in thought, heedless, emotional. It is quiet, peaceful. Need to be aware, aware. Then need to perceive, perceive. Then need to understand, understand, then move. No more like last time. Can be in your dream state without sleeping now. In your daily life, you are daydreaming. You know what is daydreaming? Huh? Daydreaming is not night dreaming. No? When you are building castle in the air, chotai to fat mong. You think, and that's how. And you are completely lost in thought. Because sometimes you are enjoying all those funny things. I don't know what goes on through your mind, so you don't know. And some people can just smile to themselves, like something wrong. For no reason. There are many people like that. Do you realize? For no reason, they just smile. And you know there is something going on inside. Then sometimes they hate themselves. They hate, and every now and then, they are very unhappy, especially depressed people. They got this inner anger, inner fear, inner hatred. They are very, very unhappy, stressed out. And yet they don't know that they are going through that, because they cannot feel. But if you are cultivated, if you are mindful, you straight away very sensitive. You can feel. Especially people come into my house. I straight away can feel my nature, straight away can feel. Then when I go to office or what, when I walk through marketplace or in the open or what, I can sense, I can feel. And people are so heedless. They are totally lost in thought, worrying. Cannot come out of it. And you can see the sadness in them. You can feel inside. They are not happy. And yet they don't know that they are heedless. They are suffering. They are going through all this. And to me, this is not life, understand? This is suffering, misery. You are not living at all. You barely existing through life. And you are being emotional, unhappy, miserable. As a human being, suffer a lot. Suffer a lot. Without the Dhamma, not easy. Living, being entangled with life. And so many things can affect them. The fear, the worry, the anxiety, health problems, financial problems, having a roof over your head. Then relationship problem. Then you have to go and work. Career problem. And sometimes, for no reason, neighbor's problem. Then your children's problem. Then sometimes your good friend also cannot understand you, also give you problem. And the worst is husband and wife, spouse. That's why the unmarried one are luckier. Don't have such problem. But sometimes it can be the other way. Because the married one, they have the Dhamma and the understanding, they got no problem. So they are actually very loving. And they got two persons, like Mahathir and Siti Hasma. So blessed, so old yet so healthy, and they are so blessed. That's why you really, not to say envy of them or what, you really feel like, how can people be so blessed, understand? At such age, you know, and both are so loving, so healthy, and so cute. Sometimes you look at them, really cute. And they create the history over and over again. So how come people have such parami? Doesn't mean married life is miserable. No. There can be a lot of joy too, a lot of challenges. It depends on your understanding, your Dhamma. So all these are very useful. So Dhamma is everywhere when you understand. Okay. Any other thing to add or question? No. Thank you. Let us rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And we thank Tammy for the good condition. Okay, there's a note in front of you. I will go through quickly. This one is on consciousness, mundane and supramundane. It was based on a sutta called the Kevata Sutta. This sutta is supposed to be very good because this cultivator, meditator or what, they know. Every time they got this four element, you know what is four element in there? Sita in Mahayana. You will have a form in mind, understand? So, if you want to be enlightened, this form in mind must cease, understand? So, this cultivator has tried all sorts of meditation. And he realized all this meditation doesn't lead to final enlightenment because the four elements cannot cease. The four elements cannot find a place that has got no footing for the four elements. Means after that, you no more rebirth, no more four elements, no more a karmically conditioned vehicle. So this is a very good sutta. So there was this Dhammasukha site, Australia. I told you all before last time, there's monk called, I think, Bhante Vimala, Vimalaramsi, I forgot the name. Last time, they called him Bhante Jirasato. Then he changed his name to Vimalaramsi. He teach the 6 hours. So their discussion group, they discussed this topic, which was quite good. Then last Sunday, I told Engby. Then Engby asked me for the title. I said, I cannot remember. Then I went back and checked. Then I sent it to her. Then she got this printed out. But we use kind of metaphor. So you all should rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So the first email was 19th of June 2018. This particular person wrote, the book, The Law of Dependent Origination or Dependent Arising, talks about these two consciousness. It just got my attention when it stated that there are two consciousness. I never thought of it that way, he said. Then they got this Pali word, Abhisankata Vinyanang, the specifically prepared consciousness, also known as the deluded consciousness, means before the enlightenment, means mundane consciousness. Then there is the other one, Sabbato Pabha Vinyanang, non-manifestative consciousness, also known as the lustrous consciousness. So non-manifestative means it doesn't manifest, understand? That's why it's enlightenment, Nibbana. So is the second one Nibbana? This particular author asked. It doesn't say so in the book. And then I assume that the Arahant has eliminated the first consciousness completely. Means his consciousness is no longer deluded, which is correct. If he's Arahant, the 10 fetters are gone. It also says that when light comes from all directions, consciousness become non-manifestative. This one, I think, I don't know whether it's the book described it wrongly or what. This one, he said, when light comes from all directions, you know what is the meaning or not? I use the whiteboard. Can somebody help me to rub on? Help me to write on. I got no place to write. So I read on. You see, what is important is, here, that's why if you read the text, you will become like confused. Especially this one. When light comes from all directions, What is the meaning? Light come from all direction. What is the meaning? To you, is this state of consciousness must be very bright, isn't it? Correct, right? The light come from all direction. Okay, I don't want to influence you. What is your understanding when you read this sentence? Light come from all direction. It also say that when light come from all direction, consciousness become non-manifestative. So this is written in the sutta. No? Light come from all direction means what? You think everybody got nothing to do, shine light at you? You can say wisdom, correct, but more important is, because the text is trying to describe something that is undescribable, understand or not? How can it become non-manifestative? You see, when light comes from all directions, means what? Understand? Yeah? Let's say every direction, the 10 direction or whatever. Yeah? Then what happened? For it to become, read the part. Read. No, read from the beginning so that you understand. It also say what? All direction. So for consciousness to become non-manifestative, non-manifestative. So for consciousness to become non-manifestative, what must happen? He said light come from all direction. Then consciousness become non-manifestative. What must happen? No, correct. No more avijja, wisdom, then only this thing can happen. But for it to be non-manifestative, means what? It doesn't manifest anymore. Means what? Cessation. Understand or not? So this guy sees. That's why there is nibbana, cessation of form and mind. So this one must cease. Cessation. Put the arrow here better, huh? This one must cease. It's only when this one ceases, then the whole thing, nothing. You cannot describe. Understand? That is what enlightenment is all about. That is what cessation of form and mind is all about. That's why that consciousness becomes non-manifestative. It's actually, you cannot describe it at all. So this is the meaning. The book, I think, explains things very well. But I would love to hear more insight about this. That's why this guy also tried to get more answer. Understand not? Then the other fellow wrote, micro. Dharma greeting to all, is it? Without context, I would render sabba opa sabbato, pabba vijanang, as all completely. This one, I think he must have got it from the Pali dictionary. Yeah? Entirely from every side, in every respect, radiant, radiating. Then my not consciousness. Then he said, sabbato pabba is only found 3 times in all of the sutta, not much eight. And it's only found once in the, how come like that? I think something missing there. In the connection with Vijnanang. That's the fourth section of the 11th sutta of the long discourse, the Kaveta Sutta. So it has to be from this simile of the land spotting bird. There's a sutta on this. It's an interesting sutta, including the funny conversation between a monk and the great Brahma. So the monk, Kaveta, wondered where all matter that ever came into being, Bhuta Purva, comes to an end, ceases, Nirujati. Since he knew how to visit the devas, the Brahma realm, he went there to ask the devas and god, Brahma, and the ruler of the devas and god. But no one knew the answer, and they all sent him to the next higher level, telling him they would know. 14 times he moved on through all realms, until he met the highest of all, the great Brahma, which is the Mahabrahma. But like all the other before him, the great Mahabrahma also had to admit that he doesn't know the answer. He told the monk that he should go back and ask the Buddha. If you ask me, this cessation of matter, means the four elements, take place with the cessation of perception, feeling, and consciousness. What is perception, feeling, and consciousness? Yeah? The whole form and mind, understand or not? Yeah. That's what the Buddha said in the last verse, he said. Because you remember the Mahabrahma? He thought he was the creator, very great. Not until the Buddha, Sambuddha Sakyamuni, went up to meet up with him. He said, you are only one of the Mahabrahma. He said, you will fall in time. He said, finally, you may even land up in hell. You are not the creator. You are not the Almighty. That's why he remembered the Buddha's word. So he told this Kevata, he said, consciousness that is invisible, Vijnanang anidasana, invisible yet infinite, radiant all round, Ananta sabbato pabba. Here's where the four elements, water and earth, fire and air, find no footing. Here is where long, short, fine, coarse, beautiful and ugly. Here's where name and form cease, means form and mind cease, with nothing left over. With the cessation of consciousness, vijnanasa nirodhe dena. So this is how enlightenment takes place. That's where this is. Then the Pali word, etetang uparujati. Here is the entire conversation. So this one, I will quickly go through. Then that mendicant, as easily as a strong person would extend and contract his armor, vanished from the Brahma realm and reappeared in front of the Buddha. Then he bowed, sat down to one side, and said to the Buddha, sir, where do these four elements cease without anything left over, namely the element of earth, water, fire, and air? So the simile of the land-spotting bird was given. When he said this, I said to him, means the Buddha said to him, once upon a time, mendicant, sea merchants set sails from the ocean deep taking with them a land sporting bird. When their sheep are out of sight of land, they release the bird. It flew right away to the east, west, north, and south, upward and in between. If it saw land on any side, it went there and stayed. But if it saw no land on any side of it, it will return to the sheep. In the same way, after failing to get an answer to this question, even after searching as far as the Brahmarai, you have returned to me. See? It's just like the land searching bird. So this Kevata got no more solution. It's just like the bird. Everywhere also water, no land. So where is the safe place? Go back to the sheep. So this one is the same. When you want to find something that nobody understands because they have not gone through that cessation or enlightenment, you have to go back to the Buddha. This is not how the question should be asked, the Buddha said. Sir, where do these four elements cease without anything left over, namely the four elements? He said, this is how the question should be asked. Where do water and earth, fire and air find no footing? They don't return anywhere, you understand not? These four elements cannot find any footing there. They cannot return on. Where do long shot, fine and coarse, beautiful and ugly? These are all duality. Where do the form and mind cease with nothing left over? Means the energy of Nibbana is what? Like the flame. It just disappear. Then you cannot say where the flame go to, isn't it? Like your candlelight. You blow it off. Did you say the candlelight die? Then where did it go? You cannot say it go somewhere. It go to Nibbana. Nibbana is not a place. Nibbana is cessation. But when it sees the unmanifestable, that is the realization. That's why Nibbana is not something you can understand. It's the unconditioned. It has to be realized. When the mundane mind cease, then it will happen. Completely seasonal, means pure awareness also no more. And the answer to that is consciousness that is invisible, infinite, radiant all around. Here's where water and earth, fire and air find no footing. Here's where long shot, fine, coarse, beauty and ugly. Here's where name and form, means namarupa, cease, with nothing left over. With the cessation of consciousness, that's where they cease. Then he say with much metta. Then the next one is very good. This guy called Indus. Indu. I don't know if he's a Hindu or his name is Indu. He said, Dhamma greeting all. He said, just to add to below, maybe a bit more analytical in nature, but hope this motivates us to practice more to realize this wonderful state. Consciousness and mind are two different things. There is a sutta that say mind in its pure state is luminous and bright. Six consciousness are the layers on top of this mind that start to cloud it and also manifesting. That's why that is the magician. The Buddha called this consciousness like a magician's trick, which manifesting for those who are untrained in the Dhamma. Thus, the mind that is no more attached with six consciousness is radiant all round, means sabbato pabama, non-manifestative anidasana, and endless anatang. So this one is the pure awareness, pure awareness before the cessation of form and mind. So this pure awareness is radiant all round. But it doesn't manifest, it doesn't create, because the mundane mind is not there. Then this state of perfection of mind is also the pinnacle of wisdom and is experienced by Arahant after all the defilements or 10 fetters has been rooted out. But we may also experience some glimpses of such mind during twin meditation or practices. So they believe they also have a glimpse. The Sutta Digha Nikaya 11 contains very deep statement by the Buddha about the nature of consciousness that ordinary worldling accustomed to, and the consciousness of an Arahant. Consciousness is very much interleaved with our perception of the world and material things. The interrelation between consciousness and the Namarupa is the deepest point in the chain of dependent origination or co-arising. The combination also called vortex or whirlpool or tangle, vata, where we are stuck from the beginningless time. We recognize the form, material form, or the four great elements by mentally formulating a name for each characteristic of form with the help from sense consciousness. Craving comes into picture here too, which teaches form and mind. While ignoring consciousness, that is the link between the two. This is not the big craving that follows after a feeling, but of a more subtle form that arises as long as sankhara or formation arises. And craving, greed, hatred, and delusion is the maker of the measurement that defines things as long and short, big and small, beautiful and ugly. When the mind is free from craving, the sixth consciousness also ceases, and along with it, the notion of long and short also ceases. That's how it happened. Consciousness is one of the nutriments for maintenance of being, and as long as we have the notion of the self, the atta, or the solidity, the consciousness are not free from their bond to the five aggregate of form and mind. The Buddha states that mind, consciousness that is free from form and mind, is where the four elements find no footing. So he is not saying that an objective world does not exist at all, but inferring that when the mind is released from consciousness to establish on form and mind, the notion of form no more finds any ground. So the Buddha's answer to the question was, when the sixth consciousness ceases, all the notion of form or the self too cease. So quantum mechanics actually have proven this observation. We think that form are actually something really existing and are defined by space and time. That was why that bhikkhu went as far as the Brahma world to find where the elements cease and if there is any boundary. But as we know now that space and time are not really truly existing things independent of sense consciousness. They are there when mind is pulled by the sixth sense element or sixth sense consciousness. Cosmology are now saying that space may actually be infinite and there may be infinite number of universes. This kind of speculation or theory about the universe can go on forever. A wise person, however, does not get involved with such thinking, but makes an effort to understand that the limit of consciousness is. Make an effort to understand what the limit of consciousness is and how they fit within the reality that is made of the impersonal process of dependent co-arising. So the bottom line is, we really need to practice or cultivate the complete Noble Eightfold Path to develop the wisdom to realize this state that is free from all entanglement. Then the last page, I need to finish it off first. Because today I need to go back early. Okay, Dhamma greeting in this. Is it? I'm way late reading this, but you did a great job with this. I'm curious to hear, did anyone talk about co-joint condition of perception, feeling, and consciousness in there in this conversation as discussed by Majjhika Nikaya 43? This one is by the assistant to the monk, Sister Kema. She is a nun. Then on behalf of Hindu, somebody wrote back, Dharma greeting, Sister Kema. Good to see you back after long. I did not notice you mentioned Majjhika Nikaya 43 in our discussion, but it's indeed a very important statement. Feeling, perception, and consciousness are conjoined, not disjoined. Huh? This one is very important. And it is impossible to separate one from another. So this makes it even clearer that dependent origination is not strictly a serial process of twirling, following each other, then like a domino slab, one hitting another and so on. You remember at the retreat I told you, it's multidimensional, it's not single dimensional. So this guy also know, because they arise simultaneously, co-join. This universal concomitant, seven universal, upon contact, they are all there, simultaneously arise. Another very interesting statement in this sutta is consciousness and wisdom are co-joined, not disjoined. See? Without wisdom, that consciousness is deluded. Yeah. I had a good insight into the two while I was sitting a few weeks ago. I am quoting my notes below. Not sure if this makes sense to you, Metta Hindu. Then I wrote to Engby, 30th July, the Sunday. Following your request, at our yesterday's Wuping Qingshe Sunday Dhamma class, I am pleased to forward herewith the email relating to the Sutta, Kevata Sutta, where the four elements find no footing as per your request. This Sutta is very interesting and beautiful. To a certain extent, it was able to explain what the realization of Nibbana, or a state of realization where the four elements find no footing is. Ingbi, can you help bring out this Kevata Sutta and this email for our sharing later? The sutta is very long, but no point. They have taken the last part of the sutta, which is enough. So that end our sharing. I got to go, sorry. We cut short. Straight away we go for the puja. What they call closing puja. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakanta Lokasasana Ita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sampati Siddhiya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontunya Tayo Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Imina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia sadu sadu. Sadhu. Okay, we end. You can pay your respect.
Have to go, huh?
Toilet.
Oh, okay. I think my son forgot the key or otherwise he won't call me.